Norm Geisler called this the most dangerous enemy of Christianity in the world today. Men who's a professor of religious studies at the University of Denver said this destroys the ability of people to cope and function. It's the most powerful force in the world today. Now, before I tell you what I'm talking about, this is a strange religious organization, and I say organization with quotation marks around there, because it has no holy text, it has no central organization, no membership, no formal clergy, no geographical center, and no creed. And what I'm talking about is the New Age movement, which I find interesting. I had no idea Geisler felt that strongly about it, was that worried about it. So the New Age movement, what is it? Well, basically, it took off in the 1970s, and it incorporated occult and metaphysical beliefs, and it used meditation, medium readings, astrology, alternative medicines, and all these things were used as a way for personal and social transformation. So you wanted to change the individual, and you wanted to change all of society. Well, I was surprised. I knew there were New Age people out there, but I had no idea what a hold it has on the American public. Let me give you some statistics from some recent polls. 62% of Americans, so that's way over the majority, hold at least one New Age belief. We'll get into the beliefs in just a minute. Among self-described evangelicals, okay, so these are people who call themselves evangelical, nearly 20% believe in reincarnation. One out of five walking around today believe in reincarnation. These are from self-described evangelicals. One-third of these evangelicals believe in psychics. And then another statistic, half of church attenders hold at least one New Age belief. And how do we know this is popular? Because it's coming through our television. It's coming through books. Oprah is a big fan of this. Marianne Williamson, who's been a candidate for President of the United States in the Democratic Party, has written a lot about it. She's been a guest on Oprah's show. Deepak Chopra, big name in this. Gary Zukav, Eckhart Tolle, and Rhonda Byrne. Rhonda Byrne especially had this big best-selling book called The Secret. Now, The Secret is just basically New Age information. Okay, so why don't we talk about what the beliefs are, the basic beliefs. And I'll tell you this, this is kind of hard to pin down. Now, you're going to have people who say, well, I don't believe that, but I'm New Age. So this is not going to hold in every single case. Just kind of a warning, as you're going to have to ask the people questions about what they do believe in. But the main belief is pantheism. Everything is divine. Everything is God. You're God. The trees are God. This universe is God. Everything is God. In fact, Deepak Chopra had a book out called You Are the Universe. That's pretty interesting. So we're all divine. We're all God. Well, if all is God, then there's no separation as far as personalities and things like that. So that's called monism. Everything is one. So everything's divine, everything is one. Relativism is a big part of the New Age. We create our own reality. We're the ones that are creating reality. And there's no absolute good or evil. There's relativism. They also believe in reincarnation and karma, kind of like next life, you get what you deserve for the previous life. And our problem is not sin. We're just not aware of these things. We're not aware that we're God. We're not aware of the oneness of the universe. So what's the solution? Waking up, enlightenment, realization of our oneness. And we can do this through the occult or meditation or drugs, something like that. Well, why is this belief so popular today? What is this? What would account for this? Now, I think there are several good points here. I think the key one, key point is, it's all about me. I'm the universe. That's what Deepak Chopra said. You are the universe. So it's very self-centered. It's works-based. You just got to wake up. Morality and truth are out the window. Don't worry about the Ten Commandments. There's a loss of rationality here that I think people are really flocking to. They've looked at rationality and felt like that didn't get them anywhere. Gave us World War II, gave us all sorts of destruction. There's also a love of secrets, and this idea is that there's secret knowledge, if we just wake up to it, we go, it was around us all the time. I didn't know that. It's also spirituality without religion. You don't have certain standards that you have to uphold that are exterior to you. It's multicultural. That's kind of cool. No culture, no person has a corner on the truth. Time magazine said it this way. Still talking about why is New Age so popular. I think this really makes sense. Time magazine, quote, "Humans are essentially religious creatures, and they don't rest until they have some sort of answers to the fundamental questions. Rationalism and secularism don't answer these questions. But you can see the rise of the New Age as a barometer of the disintegration of American culture. Dostoevsky said that anything is permissible if there's no God, but anything is also permissible if everything is God. There's no way to make any distinction between good and evil. Once you've deified yourself, which is what the New Age is all about, there's no higher moral absolute. It's a recipe for ethical anarchy." Now, I can't believe Time Magazine actually had that in there, but can I go back and just hit a few of those phrases there? He says, or she, whoever wrote this, "We're built in to be religious. We're looking for answers. And we've looked at rationalism. We've looked at secularism. We've tried to just use our minds. We've tried to depend on science and logic, and it didn't get us anywhere. It's dry and it's cold. They don't answer the big questions." And he says our culture, she says, our culture is fragmenting. It's disintegrating. And that allows this irrationality to come out. And then I love the comment that Dostoevsky says, you can do anything if there's no God, because there's no standard of right and wrong. But if everything is God, then everything is still permissible. There's no evil, is there, anymore? How could you do anything evil if everything is God? You're God. And you've deified yourself. Then there's no moral absolute beyond you. Well, what are we heading for? That's chaos. One person believes X and the other person believes Y. If we're all God, who's to judge between the two? Well, what are some of the differences? Pretty obvious. What are some of the differences between Christianity and the New Age movement? Well, God, for the Christians, is separate from his creation. He's an intelligent creator. He's a being that we owe everything to, but that's not the New Age view. We are God. Everything is God. What about Jesus? Christianity says he is the single way to God. He is the only Savior because he's the only one who solved the problem of sin. He came and died on the cross for as a substitute for our sins. What does the New Age say? Jesus is another enlightened one, just like a whole bunch of other people. Nothing special about him, no salvation through him. What about morality? Christians say God is our standard. God, his nature is the standard for right and wrong, and we need to look at that. New Agers say, no, morality is whatever I think of, because I'm God. What about salvation? Christian says salvation comes from outside. We can't generate it ourselves. What does the New Ager say? Salvation is within. You need enlightenment. And what about the future? Christians say we will be eventually resurrected and live on a new earth and life will be terrific. And the New Agers say you got to become one and kind of flow into the singleness of all reality. So you lose your personality under New Age. Well, next thing I would like to do, and I'm going to spend a little time on this, is what can we do as Christians when we're dealing with the New Age movement? So we've got somebody in our life who's talking about these New Age things. Seems like obviously we got to pray for the person. We should be communicating love. These are not hostile people. These are not foes that we're trying to conquer. These are lost souls. We want to communicate love to them. Maybe we can seek common ground with them. We can appreciate their concerns. Are they interested in saving the earth? Well, Christians are too. We're supposed to be stewards. Do they want better treatment for women? So do Christians, because we say women and men are made in the image of God. Do they want a better world? So do we. We just have a different way of expressing that. And they have rejected atheism. So have we. So that's possible, at least to get a starting point by sharing concerns with them. Here's something else you might think about doing. try to define your terms. They will say Jesus is the Christ, but what they mean is he became Christ as he got smarter and smarter and understood things. Well, we say, no, Jesus has always been the Messiah, the anointed one. He is the Christ. He's always been that way. Nobody else is the Christ. So make sure you define terms when you're talking to them. Try asking questions. So here are a few examples. How can we be sure that spirits are giving us true messages? Because remember, they're going to use mediums and they're going to hear from the spirit world. How can we be sure that that's a true message? Maybe you can ask them, who's the most spiritual person who ever existed? And you could work in Jesus as part of your response there. Maybe you can read the Bible with them. I'd take them to one of the Gospels. I think John would be especially good. We probably need to study the New Age. I'll give you a list of some sources in a minute. We should focus on Jesus and stress his uniqueness. I have a talk on that, the uniqueness of Jesus. We should stress our sin nature, because down deep, they know they have not matched up to even their own standards. Forget the Ten Commandments. We've all sinned. We're all broken people. Seems like that would be a very easy thing to stress. We can also show the reliability of the New Testament, especially the Gospels, that there's something special about them that no other religious or spiritual books can match. And then, again, let me slow down in this section. We need to show the inconsistency and the irrationality of the New Age worldview. Now, maybe not at first. Maybe we just listen at first. Maybe we just ask questions. Maybe we share our story. But somewhere along the way, we have to show that what they're believing, what they're putting their eternal destiny in, is something that's not rational. So you might do this. Ask them this. Am I wrong to say Jesus is the only way? That's really going to put them in a corner, because if they say no, you're not wrong to say, because they don't want to say anything that's wrong or evil. So, no, you're not wrong to say that. Well, your claim is that Jesus is the only way. But if they say, yeah, you're wrong to say that, I thought we were all gods. How can some of us be mistaken? It seems like that's kind of a no-win-win for them. It paints their irrational statement. How about this one? Again, thinking about the problems with the New Age worldview, nobody can live this worldview. For example, relativism. Well, can they condemn Hitler? Not really, not under their perspective. There's no such thing as good and evil. They may be able to say, well, Hitler was just not aware. But, I mean, see, they really can't condemn what he did as evil. What kind of system can't condemn Hitler? And by the way, if you're going to live in this relativism world, then they can't praise any moral reformers like Gandhi and Martin Luther King and Mother Teresa, all because what are they saying? That those individuals did good for the world? Well, I thought there was no good or evil. What about other evil in the world? They believe there's evil. They do. They really do. They won't say it, but they do. Try stealing their car and see what happens. They think there's evil. They think there's something truly right and truly wrong. Let's take on another belief of theirs to show some problems with it. Reincarnation. Well, why is that not working so well? Why isn't the world a better place? If we're reincarnated and this has happened for thousands of generations, why isn't the world just getting a whole lot better? And if you believe in reincarnation, somehow karma has to be passed out to people. Okay, this is what you did in your past life, and this is the new life that you're going to. Who determines the karma? How is that determined? Why don't we remember our past life? If we had a past life, why don't we remember it? Isn't that the point? You become a better person because you realize you messed up then. But if you don't remember it, aren't you just going to commit the same problems all over again, same sins? And how about this one? One more thing about reincarnation. If all is one, that's one of their beliefs, monism, if all is one, how can an individual soul be reincarnated? That seems odd. Okay, here's some other things to think of as far as irrationality and inconsistencies. If we create our own reality, that's their idea, we create our own reality, why are we so bad at it? Everybody ages, everybody dies. Well, we're not doing much of a job. What happens if we don't believe in an objective reality? They say there's no objective reality out there. We're creating our own reality. Well, step in front of a bus and see what happens. How about another problem? They say there's no personal God. It's an impersonal God. But if that's true, then we don't get a relationship with this God. We have no fellowship. We cannot worship this God. And all of that goes away. Here's another issue. If you know you exist, then pantheism is false. Remember, because pantheism says that everything's divine and all is God and it's all one. But if we know we exist, we're in an individual unit, and there goes pantheism and monism. Here's another issue we can take up. We can know religious truth. They would say, no, we can't. We can look at science, we can look at morality, we can look at history, we can look at manuscripts. There are a lot of different ways to look at religions and make some determinations. Is Muhammad and Joseph Smith and Jesus and Moses and all these others, are they all, and Mary Baker Eddy for Christian Science, are they absolutely all identical? No. Some I would put on a much higher scale than the others. We can know religious truth. I have a talk on that. Here's something else that's a problem with the New Age worldview. It offers no spiritual discernment. It's just, it's all the same out there. They can't distinguish between the good and the bad. And then maybe this last point, these altered states of consciousness that they like are actually a dangerous irrationalism. We're fleeing thought, we're fleeing thinking, and into a world of what? I don't know, fantasy, I would say. Well, let's talk about some resources that you can go to, because again, I'm doing this in a quick way, and there's certainly places you can go to for a lot more information. Here's a book, Embraced by the Darkness. This is a man who was in the New Age movement, Scott, last name. Embraced by the Darkness. Here's another one. Confronting the New Age, that's one book. Unmasking the New Age is a second book by Doug Grootice. I think I'm pronouncing it right. It's G-R-O-O-T-H-U-I-S. So, Confronting the New Age, Unmasking the New Age. Another one, The New Age Movement. Author's name is Newport. And one last one, Apologetics in the New Age, Clark and Geisler. And if you want to go to websites, I would suggest equip.org. That's a good one. It's a good one for a lot of different issues that you might have. And then there's one, this is all one, put together as one word, ChristianAnswersForTheNewAge.org. Okay, ChristianAnswersForTheNewAge.org. Here's another one, probe.org. Another one, Karma to Grace. Now, when you get to the two, don't write out T-O, do the letter, I'm sorry, do the number two. So you go Karma, number two, Grace.org. And then last one here is reasonsforjesus.com. And that should take you some good places. So, yes, this is something apparently that's Geisler calls the most dangerous enemy of Christianity in the world today. So it's something we need to take seriously. But we have rationality on our side. We have good thinking on our side. And we'll be okay if we interact with some people who are of the New Age movement. And remember one more time, they're not our enemy. These are souls that need Jesus. So let's think of them in that way.